I'm rejoicing and I'm singing, traveling with an angel band. There is no sorrow in my heart, for Jesus is mine. Shouting and praising, voices upraising, glory divine.
Going to glory, telling the story,
He is ever mine. Heading for heaven, sins are forgiven, I can't repine.
There is such gladness,
sadness, there forever shines, singing and shouting, nevermore doubting, love so divine.
Marching with
winners, sinners, Jesus now is mine.
I have been given
heaven, I shall not repine. Homeward I'm going, happy in knowing Jesus is mine. There is no sadness in my life while walking with Christ, my wondrous King. And there is nothing in this world for which I would pine. I have found joy that's so surpassing, I just want to shout and sing, letting the world know that I'm glad that Jesus is mine. Someday my labors will be over, and I will reach that happy strand, where with my friends and loved ones I on manna will dine. I will forget my earthly trials as I join in that heavenly band, singing and shouting on that shore, for Jesus is mine. Shouting and praising, voices upraising, glory divine.
Going to glory, telling the story,
He is ever mine. Heading for heaven, sins are forgiven, I can't repine.
There is such gladness,
sadness, there forever shines. Singing and shouting, nevermore doubting, love so divine.
Marching with
winners,
sinners,
Jesus now is mine.
I have been given
heaven, I shall not repine. Homeward I'm going, happy in knowing Jesus is mine. Homeward I'm going, happy in knowing that my Jesus is mine.
Thank you, Brother Combs. Wow. Now they're okay. They didn't bust. They're plastic. How many remember the old Memorex commercial? Remember that years ago? Well, this is all the people we got that remember that? See, they can't do that anymore, Brother Garner, because they're plastic now. Can't bust them. Psalm 119, verse 15. Psalm 119, verse 15. This is our annual budget sermon, all right? I want to talk to you tonight, church, and I want to be honest. This is not going to be a real amen sermon. It's going to be more of a preventative maintenance type sermon. But I want to talk to you about one of our theme, or one of the aspects of our theme this year about character under construction. And I want to talk to you tonight about the quality of respect. The quality of respect. Psalm 119, verse 15. Would you stand with me, please? Psalm 119 and verse 15. The psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, we've learned that the biblical word precept is very similar and synonymous with what we would call principles. So he said, I will meditate in thy precepts, principles, and notice this now, how does your Bible say respect? Okay, you need to circle that word, you need to underline it. He says, because I meditate in thy precepts, he says, and have respect unto thy ways. And I want to take the verse tonight, church, and preach to all of us tonight on the subject of the quality of respect. Now, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to meet with us. Lord, you've blessed us in so many different ways, and tonight we want to open our hearts to what you have to say. Holy Ghost of God, would you meet with us and teach us from the Scriptures, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. The word respect simply means giving particular attention to something with a spirit of high regard. And so our verse says that the psalmist says, I meditate in thy precepts, and because I do, I have respect unto thy ways. Now what he's saying, church, is if we spend enough time in the Word of God, and we spend enough time in our relationship with God, you know what? We will hold in high regard the things of God. We will hold in high regard all of the things that are incorporated in the Christian life. Now, respect is a very valuable character trait. But may I say that it has to be developed. Respect has to be developed in the life of every child of God. Did you know that we're not just born with good, godly Christian respect? If you don't believe that, it's amazing how many people come to church, chew gum, stick it under the pew. We're not born with respect, see? Just different things like that. And so we're not born that it has to be developed. Respect is something that's taught for learning purposes. But I want to say this, more than anything, it's more caught than taught. You see, I can teach somebody respect, but at some point they're going to have to actually practice it at some point. So it's more caught by example and more caught by practice. You see, the more Bible principles of respect that we practice, the more submissive we become to godly character in our life. So the key here is the Word of God. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 23. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord, how often? All the day long. For surely there is an end. He said, because if you practice them all the day long, he says there's a means to an end here. There's a method to the madness here. He said, and surely there's an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. You see, church, respect is not something a Christian should practice when it's convenient or when it justifies their cause. But rather, it should be a way of life for all believers as they walk in the Spirit of God. Do you know I've never found somebody that walks in the Spirit? I've never found somebody that's a soul winner. I've never found somebody that loves God, is in their Bible, that ever had a problem with respect to the things of God. Never have. Why? Because they understand this is a quality. This is a quality. But it shouldn't be practiced when it justifies our cause, but rather it should be a way of life for us as we walk in the Spirit of God. You see, there is a godly spiritual reason why subjection and respect are to be practiced daily. Let me tell you why. Because we're going to be confronted with that aspect every day of your life. Every day of your life, respect, the character trait, the quality of respect is going to be confronted in your life and in my life. The sad thing is, church, yet the truthful aspect of respect is that some of God's people have more regard for the things of the world than they do the things of God. They'll have more respect for the things of the world than they will the things of God in here. You see, no one who spends time with God in God's Word or on their knees in prayer or out winning souls or serving God or teaching a Sunday school class or ministering about the things of God, I found out these people hardly ever have a problem with the respect of the things of God. Hardly ever. Now I want you to think about this and chew on this statement for a moment. Neglect and disrespect go hand in hand with each other. I'm going to say it again. I said neglect and disrespect go hand in hand. When a person neglects their Bible time, when a person neglects their walk with God, they find themselves being disrespectful to the things of God. Because they lose a love for the things of God. They lose a love for their walk with God. Now what I want to do for a few moments, church, is talk to you for just a moment out of Psalm 119, verse 15, where the Bible talks about, the psalmist says that he'll meditate in his precepts all the day long. He'll meditate. All the day long he'll do this. And the reason that we've got to keep our mind focused on these things is because there is a way. And he said, because when I meditate on your precepts, I will respect the ways. That means if I don't meditate on your precepts, I'm probably not going to respect your ways. So we need to think about God's New Testament way. First of all, how he set things up. Can I say to you, church, that he set the local church up and it was built upon Jesus Christ? He set the church up and he built it upon himself. He said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, Matthew 16:18. You see, the church of the living God is a place of worship. It's not a place of play. It's not a place that kids should be running around and crawling under the pews. It's not a place where people should be coming and treating this like it's a game room. This is the house of God. It's a place of worship. It's to be a holy place, a sanctified place. But he set the church up. It's a place of worship. Hey, it's a center of evangelism. Do you realize that from this church, the epicenter of our church ministry and missions, we send out and support over 252 missionaries and or missionary projects. We're currently running over 10 bus routes. We have 50-some-odd Sunday school teachers and classes. This is a center of evangelism. This is a place of worship. But can I say also that the local church is a source of support for believers? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Do you ever notice, you ever wonder why God says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? There's a reason why. Because the church serves not only as a place of worship and a center of evangelism, but it's a source of support for believers. Do you know people come to church, actually, there's a lot of God's people come to church because they need their battery recharged. They come to church because they need support from other believers. So God set the local church up, and he built it on Jesus Christ. Now the next aspect of God's ways, not only did he set the church up, but listen now, he set a shepherd in the church to lead the flock of God. That's the way God set it up. So he established a church, then he set a shepherd, or should I say an under-shepherd, in the church to feed the flock of God. Now, you say, what's a shepherd supposed to do? He's supposed to preach the word. He's supposed to teach the word. And you know, according to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 2, he's also supposed to not only feed the flock, but he's supposed to protect the flock. That's a reason that we guard very carefully those that come and want to unite with our church. Why? That's part of the shepherd's job. He's to guard and protect the flock. And so God established the church, built it on Jesus, then he put a shepherd in that church to lead the flock of God. Now sometimes the shepherd has to protect the flock from outside intruders. But can I say this to you? Sometimes the shepherd has to protect the sheep from themselves. You ever seen an old herd of sheep? I've watched them out there before. Sometimes, you know, they're kind of docile creatures, but they'll go and chew on somebody's ear after a time or two. Yeah. I've seen them walk up and the tail of a sheep, they'll bite it. They'll bite each other's ear. Sometimes, you know, the shepherd has to protect the sheep from themselves. And make sure that there's unity and make sure that there's peace among the body. So God's way, he set up a local church. He put a shepherd, a pastor, to lead that flock. And then number three, underneath that shepherd, there's a system of leadership in the church. There's staff members who have responsibilities so that things can be done decently and in order. There are deacons in the church that help care for the flock. The deacons are kind of the sheepdogs. They kind of among the sheep, and you know what? They're listening. Now, they're not sheep in wolf's clothing or wolf in sheep's clothing either. But they're sheepdogs. They're among the sheep, listening and watching. Now, leadership is acting in the place of the shepherd's wishes. Did you hear me? Whether it's a Sunday school teacher, a staff member, a deacon, a bus, they are ministering in under the shepherd's wishes and directions. So to disrespect someone who's carrying out the pastor or the shepherd's instructions is to disrespect the pastor and ultimately God. There's a chain here that follows. All right, everybody with me? All right, so God set the church up, set a shepherd over the church, set a system of leadership in the church, and then he gave us Bible directions of how to operate the church. You say, what's that? Well, first of all, everything's to be done decently in order. That's the reason we just came through a budget. We don't just spend money randomly. It's decently in order. Then according to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, he set up that one of the ways that we have Bible directions to operate the church is through the tithes and offerings of God's people. Amen. You say, where'd you get that? From the Bible. I read it. That's the reason we practice it. That's why that when we presented a budget, do you know all of God's people that call themselves members of Trinity Baptist Church ought to support the budget by their tithes and offerings? Glory to God. That's the way it's set up. There's checks and balances set up. You see, respect or disrespect of God's way is a good gauge of the spiritual temperature of a Christian or a church. It's a good gauge. It's a good gauge, spiritual temperature of a church based on their respect or disrespect of God's ways. Now, I'm going to hit on just a few things here real quick, and I want you to jot these down, all right? Now, again, I told you, this is not a real amen sermon. This is a preventative maintenance. So, here we go. You ready? Buckle up. First area I want to talk to you about the quality of respect is I want to talk to you about the respect of God's property. Some of the items in the budget, the reason that monies had to be spent is because somebody showed disrespect to God's property. And we had to replace things that shouldn't have had to been replaced. So we need to be respectful of God's property. Do you know David said in Psalm 122 verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the, talk to me now, the house of God. Didn't say your house. He said the house of God. I just, you know, I live at 1011 Woodbrook, and I just want to say that, you know, my house equals the property within it and equals ownership, right? That means the things that are inside that house are mine. I wouldn't want anybody coming in my house and spitting on my floor. I wouldn't want anybody coming in my house and eating and then just dumping the food or throwing their dishes in the sink or you say, man, that's disrespectful. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's disrespectful. That's the reason we got to be respectful of God's property. Listen, church, this is God's house. This is God's pulpit. This is God's piano. This is God's flag. This is God's whatever this is right here. All of this belongs to Him. Doesn't belong to me. That means I don't have the right to pick it up and take it home if I want to. Amen. He said, but I'm a tithing member, so what does that give you the right to take? That's God's. Folks, listen to me. Do you know when I take my tithes and offerings and I put them in the offering plate, I put them there, when I let go of that off my hand, it's no longer mine. It's God's. And so we have a system. Remember we went back and talked about the system of leadership? That system of leadership that's in place, a pastor, deacons, advisory board, staff members. Listen, that's what God's put in place here in order to operate and use things decently in order. So we've got to be respectful of God's property. You say, come on, preacher, you need to get down a little bit lower on the shelf. What are you talking about when you're talking about respect of God's property? Well, let me just give them to you. First of all, straighten up what you mess up. It's God's house. You mess it up, straighten it up. Hey, mamas and daddies, can I just stop and just pull over here and park just a minute? Do you know, mamas and daddies, we're responsible for our children? And growing up, did you know what I broke my daddy had to pay for? And usually he wasn't a happy camper. Well, so what's the deal when we come to church and our kids break things and we think, okay, well, church pay for it. That's disrespectful. So whatever we mess up, you know what the ethical thing to do is? Straighten up. You know what every church member ought to do tonight before you leave? You ought to look on your pew and see if somebody stuck a piece of gum. You ought to look down on your pew and see if somebody picked or clipped their fingernails or something and left them in the pew. You say, that's gross. Well, get somebody, go get a Kleenex and clean it up. But if you mess it up, bless God, clean it up. Straighten up. Next. I've already covered this. I kind of went into it. Clean up what you dirty up. Now, I'm just saying, listen, if you bring dishes to church and you got food in it, why are you leaving it here for me to wash it? Amen. I told you it's not an amen sermon. This is a budget sermon. I don't understand that, do you? Would you want me coming in with a plastic container of food and a glass and come into your house, sit down and drink it and leave it on your table, say, wash that and bring it to church with you. I'll pick it up on Wednesday. He said, I wouldn't do it. Well, that's what some are doing. They expect our kitchen help to clean your dishes and then bring them out and set them out nice and clean so you can come pick them up. That ain't right. He said, them kitchen people threw my stuff in the trash. I said, straighten up what you mess up. Clean up what you dirty up. Next, fix up what you break up. You know what my daddy's policy was when he was saved, man? He said, you break it, you fix it. Oh, by the way, you break it, you fix it, you also pay for it. So fix up what we break up. Mamas and daddies, your kid throws a rock through a window out here, you know what? You ought to be liable. You say, well, I tithe. So what does that have to do with it? Amen. Amen myself. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? I raised five kids. You know what? They broke stuff around the church. You know what? I paid for it. I replaced it. Why should I ask you to replace something my kid did? Amen. You say, well, it was an accident. Well, let me say this, mamas and dads. Again, I told you it's not an amen sermon. If we'd stop letting them run around unattended, some of that wouldn't happen. Isn't this good? Next, pick up what you litter up. Hey, folks, we shouldn't be eating candy bars and going out in the parking lot on God's parking lot, can you, and throw it on the ground. That's disrespectful. Listen, I'm not telling you anything. Listen, folks, I don't tell you anything that I don't practice. Okay, I'm not going to preach something I don't practice. I come here early in the mornings, and sometimes people drive by and throw beer bottles and beer cans and stuff, and I pull around. I go out here and pick them all up and go put them in Brother O's trash can. One of these days, if he leaves his car open, I'm going to put him under the seat. Hey, can I say we're all stewards of the things of God? So no one should have to tell us to do these things. It's just character. It's respect. It's a quality of respect. Hey, listen, families, adults. Hey, we ought to clean up after ourselves and our children. We need to have respect of God's property. Say, well, I'll be glad when you get off of that one. I am. I'm going to the next one. And this one's worse. I said, first of all, we need to have respect of God's property. Number three. We need to have respect of church policy. That's rules and guidelines in which we operate by. They're called policy. And you say, preacher, why do we have policy? Well, first of all, for security purposes, for safety purposes, for organizational purposes, for ethical purposes, for cleanliness purposes. And I could go on and on and on. But I'm here to tell you, dear friend, listen, there's a reason that we have policy. Wrote down a little saying years ago. I don't know who said it, but I wrote it down. And I'm going to give it to you. Here's what they said. Policy has purpose. They don't do it just to take up ink on the page. They don't do it just to fill up an announcer or something. No, policy has purpose. And no individual has the authority to change policy set forth by the pastor, staff, or deacons. Nobody. Because it's policy. You say, preacher, is policy in granite? Well, of course not. It can change. But what I'm saying to you is there's a reason that there's policies. There's a reason. And you know what we need to do as a church? We need to respect the church policies. And whether an individual, listen to me, church, whether an individual agrees or disagrees with that policy does not give them the right nor the liberty to be disrespectful to anyone or anything, including leadership or the policy. You know, there's a lot of things I don't agree with. My wife and I went to get our passport Monday. So we went to the federal building in downtown Dallas. And we were standing in line. There were about three or four lines. You had to go through security. Now sometimes, you ever go to the grocery store and wonder why they have 54 cash registers and have five open? You ever wonder that? So we went in there and they had like three or four places where you could go in. They had one open. And so anyway, we're standing there and in line people were coming in and some people just coming in, getting right in line and going right through, and I'm standing over here in this line because that's where they told me to go stand. Now I didn't like it. But you know what? My wife and I stood there and we stood there and we stood there. People who walked in, we had been standing there 10, 15, 20 minutes. People walked in the door, got in the line that was going through. Nobody was watching, so they went on through. Now, I didn't like the way that they were operating things, but you know what? I stayed in my line. Why? Because that was their policy. Now, I didn't like it, but I stuck with it. It didn't give me the right nor liberty to say, you know what, I don't like your policy. Matter of fact, one guy tried to buck the policy, I almost threw him out. Can I say there's a reason for posted signs around the church? Now, I was born in Mississippi. I ain't real smart, but you know what? I can read a little bit. And the best I can tell, I think there's signs around here that says no food and drink in the building. I think that's what it says. You know what? There's a reason for that. Because do you know people spill things on the floor? And they spill things on the carpet. And do you know that soft drinks don't come out of the carpet real easy? There's a reason that we don't do these things. Folks, you say, well, preacher, what's the big deal? Because it's the house of God. That's why. This is where we worship. This is where we worship the Creator. This is where we worship the living God. We need to have respect of the property. We need to have respect to property, policy. You see, these signs and rules are not posted for decoration, nor are they discretionary because some of it may cause an inconvenience a little bit. Yeah, there's going to be inconvenience, but policy has purpose. By the way, even if you can't see what the purpose is, because there's a lot of things I couldn't see what the purpose of these standing over here in line trying to get in to get my power. That seemed crazy to me. But you know what? There was a reason for it. Now, was Jesus ever inconvenienced? Was Jesus ever disrespected by others? Did he use the opportunity as an occasion to be disrespectful back? No. But you know what he was? He was very respectful to whatever policies there were. He was respectful. Now let me give you the last one. I said be respectful of property, be respectful of church policy, and may I say, number three, we should be respectful of God's people. Be respectful of God's people. Do you know everyone here is a part of the body of this local church? Now, I don't have time, but you can go read it yourself in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you know the scripture says that the hand has no right to tell the foot you're of no use to us? Or the eye tell the ear, or the nose tell the finger, or whatever. Do you know all of God's people that are members of this church have a purpose and a place within this local body? We need to be respectful of God's people. You see, people are the reason Jesus came. People are the attention of God's love. John 13:1 said he will love them to the end. People are the property of God Almighty. You ever thought about that? You jump somebody's case, criticize somebody. Do you understand this is somebody God loves? This is somebody God loved and created and wants to save. And if they're not saved, he wants to save them. If they are saved, they're a child of God. Any mama in here take kindly to somebody messing with your kid? I don't think so. Well, you want to get somebody mad, you get mama mad, you start messing with the kids. Amen, mamas. It's okay to amen right there. I want to say just a couple of things about people and I'm done. That's this. Everybody has a battle with depravity. I said everybody has a battle with depravity. Everybody. People sin. People make mistakes. People do things that maybe twist us the wrong way. Everybody has a problem with depravity. If you don't, would you see me? Because I want to know what the secret is. Because I have a problem with it. Do you? I have a problem with depravity. But that doesn't mean we're to be disrespectful to someone that may not see or walk the same way that we do. May I say to you also that people have their strengths and their weaknesses? We tend to only look and praise them for their strengths, and we tend to rip them up one side and criticize them for their weaknesses. But everybody has them. They have their strengths and they have their weaknesses. And then can I say that people, their view of things may be different than yours. Whether right or wrong, you're still to show respect. These people Monday, man, they were yelling at people. They were yelling at us. Griping. But you know what? I stayed in my line, showed respect. And the woman that was heading up the deal, was doing all the yelling and stuff, went through there. She was talking to me. I said, yes, ma'am. Now, I didn't have to say yes, ma'am. But I did. Why? Because Brother Carlos, it's a respectful thing to do. It's respectful. We're to respect people. Let me finish and say this. I don't expect everybody here, including the staff, to love everything about Trinity Baptist Church the way I do. Do you hear me? You say, well, shouldn't you expect that? Well, let me just say this. I was saved here. I was baptized here. I was called to preach here. I grew here. I raised my family here. So I don't expect everybody to love the church as I do. But I can say this, I do expect everybody to respect the church. Respect its property, respect its policies, and respect its people. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Church, I hope you understand from my heart I preach this tonight because here we are going into a new year, voting on a new budget. These three areas, they have to be assimilated into our being. They have to be a part of our life. That quality of respect of the things of God and the property of God. The policies of the church. The people of God. This has to be part of our life. And I'll say it again. That neglect and disrespect go hand in hand. Some of the most disrespectful people that I meet and have met are usually people that are out of the will of God, out of the Word of God, and out of their devotional life with God. But some of the most charming, loving, kind, respectful people I've ever met are people that are in their book, on their knees, and are serving God. That makes the difference. So the head's bowed tonight. No one's looking around. Maybe there's one here tonight.